Upon our arrival, we came upon a greenhouse where Sister Suzanne Donner is tending to the plants. She has a boombox playing for them.
The plants have, they're alive. They have energy, and they basically respond to music. And there's a lot of people who have plants in their homes and so on, and the music itself helps the plants grow and so on. And there's even a thing on the fact that they respond to the music. If the music is not hard music and so on, they do respond to the music. So I think it's something that I've just known for a long time. So when I come in the morning, the first thing I do is say good morning to my plants and turn on some music for them.
Sister Donner was born in Chicago and grew up in the suburb of Crystal Lake, where she says she was always fond of the outdoors.
I'm considered the herb person here. I do herbs. I sell herbs and flower plants, and I do the floral gardens here and help with the trees and the bushes and the shrubs and whatever else I can help with.
Do you feel more like connected to your spirituality in this setting?
Most definitely. I think the land is a very healing part of our lives. I think more of us need to really get out and enjoy nature and be a part of nature, because that's basically where we came from.
Do you have any family members or friends who feel like you're making some sort of sacrifice to be out here?
Absolutely not. No, no, yeah, exactly right. They are jealous. My sisters and my brother, when they have an opportunity, they do come out here and they love it. It's part of their visiting with me and so on. There's no person asking that, you know, you shouldn't be here.
For people like me who aren't very aware of what I'm going to ask, I guess, what does being a sister mean to you?
That's a loaded question. Okay, I remember my mother, when I was a child, she and I were walking down the street in Chicago, and I think I was only like 5 years old. And I remember two sisters walking on the other side of the sidewalk, and I had never seen them before. And I remember my mother saying to me something like this. I asked her, who are they? And she told me that they were sisters, and I said, well, what does that mean? And this is what she told me. She told me, she said, you know how your dad and I love one another, and it's just the love of, you know, your dad and myself. These sisters have an opportunity to love everyone. And I just thought that saying kept with me that whole time as I was growing up. And also, nature helped also, because we lived on almost an acre of land. And I had the opportunity to go out and experience nature all the time. So I don't think maybe children today do as much, but I think they really should, because it really does help.
As we walk the acres, we take in the sight of rolling hills, a rarity for central Illinois. Students from the University of Illinois Springfield volunteer, as well as other people in the community, and they get a hands-on look at ecology in action. In another field over, there's a handful of llamas and alpacas. Sister Sharon Zayak is one of the founders of this location. She moved in May of 1999 after relocating from a retreat center in Riverton. She says she wanted more land that could be used to grow food. And as for the llamas?
You need large animals to complete your relationship with the land. Mm. And llamas are very, very easy to take care of, as opposed to cows and horses, which are very expensive. They're gentle on the land, they're very healthy, they live a long time, their manure is really full of protein, the fiber can be used for, as I said, for weaving and spinning. And they're also good PR. I mean, people will stop by and say, what are those, or why do you have llamas? And then it gives us a chance to explain what we're about here.
We head inside the large white farmhouse with Sister Zayak to talk more about her life here. Outside, it's busy as people mow and tend to the garden, which now feeds 100 or so sisters living in Springfield. Sister Zayak says, like most women who become sisters, she just felt a calling toward it. Her family was Catholic but not religious, didn't attend church except for Christmas and Easter. By her senior year of high school, though, she knew it was what she wanted to do. She was living in California 45 years ago when she came across a group of Dominican sisters from Springfield. She decided to move to Illinois to be with them, a decision that was hard for her family. In the country, there are about 20 different congregations of Dominican sisters. The Dominican Order is worldwide and was founded by Dominic de Guzman, a Spanish priest living in the 1200s. It's one of the oldest orders and is one built on the idea of spreading the word of God by traveling among the people. And to this day, it's known for its devotion to learning, studying, and charity. So what's the process like deciding once you want to be a sister? Like, do you just fall into an order or do you have to do a lot of research? What's that?
You know what? Everybody does it differently. I literally fell into the Dominican Order because once I decided I wanted to be a sister, I was coming home from church one Sunday and I happened to see some sisters standing outside the church. And so I called them and they happened to be the Dominican Sisters of Springfield, Illinois. No matter who they would have been, that's where I would have ended up. So you can certainly see the hand of the Spirit in bringing me here because I can't imagine being anything other than a Dominican. But there are a lot of young women who actually go online and look at different groups because all of us have different gifts or charisms. The Franciscans tend to be in social ministry kinds of works in schools. You know, they follow Francis of Assisi. You have the Sisters of Mercy, the Sisters of Charity. There actually are thousands of congregations. But for some women, it's because they experienced them when they were growing up. Either they had them as teachers or they were in the parish or sometimes it's a relative. The stories are as different as there are people who are sisters.
Can you talk a little bit more about the emphasis on teaching and how the farmland you're on helps with that mission?
Well, when groups come out, particularly when we're having younger groups, but especially with older people, with anybody who come out here, one of the first questions we often get is, what are sisters doing here? Why are you doing this? How is this a work of the church? You know, what has this got to do with being a sister or being Catholic or being Christian or being whatever? So it gives us the opportunity to teach, you know, the message that we may be from all different faith traditions, but we are all creatures of earth. We are all part of the greater earth community. And so what does that mean? What does that mean about how we live, the choices that we make? What does it mean about what we eat, where our food comes from, what we wear, what we buy, how we buy? And so being able to share that in this setting usually makes a lot more sense to people than if you simply go and give a lecture somewhere. And then people have the experience to be able to come out and look at the land, sit with the land, walk, listen, smell, you know, experience.
So you grow your own food. You're definitely the whole walking the walk, not just talking the talk thing. But also, just seeing you, you're in a black shirt, jeans. No one would look at you and go, oh, it's a sister. Can you talk a little bit about the freedom there?
Yes, actually there is a lot of freedom. You know, and especially for Catholics who grew up, and this is older generations, not the younger ones, who grew up seeing sisters in habits, it's still a bit of a jolt for some people that we're not wearing one. But actually, habits were the poor garb of the historical period in which that congregation was founded. And so some of our sisters still wear the long white habits, which Dominic wore 800 years ago. And for people in that culture, that was a sign. It was a symbol. But signs or symbols are only important if people know what they are. You know, I have a classic story that I just love. And most young people now don't recognize sisters dressed in a veil and a habit. This was in one of our schools in Chicago, and one of our sisters, who was the principal there, was wearing what we call the modified or short habit. And a child from a neighboring school came and said, you know, I need to find a sister. He had been sent on an errand. And she said, well, I'm a sister. And he looked at her. I mean, she was wearing the habit, and he looked her all the way up from her black shoes to the top of her black veil. And he says, no, I need a sister. And she said, no, I am a sister. And he said to her, where's your pin? Because the sisters in his school wore regular clothes, but they had a pin that identified themselves as a sister. So a symbol is only important as understanding what the symbol is.
Talk about your everyday life here and how it involves your spiritual practice.
Well, Anita and I form what we call a local community. In the old term, this house would have been called a convent. And so we do, as religious sisters, we do have regular practices. We pray together. We pray in the morning together. We pray in the evening together. We have meals in common. Especially for Dominicans, what we call common life or community is really important to us. And so, because we work here together, you know, we're here together quite a bit. So we do have a prayer life, kind of a monastic life that is interwoven with all of the crazy activity that goes on every day. You know, it's a normal place in that we have a lot of people coming to call, to visit. They want to walk the land. They want to know what we're doing here. They want to buy something. They want to come for quiet time. So we're always interacting with people who are coming to us. Then all of the regular chores of cleaning and cooking and taking care of the other buildings and taking care of the animals and balancing that with our spiritual life, which is also something very Dominican. We talk about being an active contemplative order. So our activity is the work that we do, but we balance it with a prayer life and time for quiet for ourselves.
Sister Zayak founded Jubilee Farms, and Sister Anita Clary has been there much of that time, though she did spend 3 years in Peru.
Where I was a very small village, San Juan de Harpa, high up in the Andes Mountains, and the sisters there are in charge of 35 different parishes. So some places we only got to once or twice a year, depending on the rainy season and yet, but assisting with baptisms and the different sacramental ministries.
And so how long were you in Peru?
Almost 3 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. And so how has this idea in Peru and now here, the communal living, how has it impacted your spiritual development?
When I first entered, I thought it would be one of the easiest things. I thought, oh, that'd be, you know, a cinch. It's actually something that's not so easy. It's something you have to put a lot of intention to. You have to choose this. Not making it sound like it's super difficult, but there's different choices involved with it. And it's, you know, that someone else has your back, too. You know, it's a very rich life.
Does it help you live out your beliefs to be in this place versus maybe an apartment in a city or something?
Yeah, I've done both. So there's times as before I entered the community and also time after I entered where I've lived on my own. It's definitely much easier to pray with somebody else, you know. It's really easy to get sidetracked if you're by yourself. Oh, I'll just do it before I go to bed or something. And then something else happens. It's like, oh, now I'm too tired. But yeah, the community, it's kind of like we rub off edges, you know, off of one another and help one another. It's a give and take with it.
Sister Clary does much of the fiber work that comes with shearing the llamas and alpacas, including a new venture making burial shrouds.
I actually saw some that were very simply made but cut very unevenly and weren't very attractive. And I thought, I can make something prettier than that. And so that was really my first step. And so I use all natural products, cotton and linen, because the linen helps make the cotton be a little bit stronger, and use a variety of different lace-like designs with it. So, and no two will be alike, so each one will be unique for that particular person. And I put a lot of prayer into it, too. It's not just weaving alone. It's a form of meditation, a form of contemplation.
And can you explain again what the burial shrouds are for?
For someone who's choosing a natural way of returning to the soil, it's in place of having all the formaldehydes in that. There are organic ones if someone still wants to have that process done, but the body would be wrapped in a shroud, or possibly like maybe in cotton clothing or linen clothing, and then in a shroud. And then there's different types of like hemp ropes or different things like that, that where the body is gently lowered into the ground. A spot usually has a form of a marker, or some families choose to plant the tree or different flowers over it, but it's a very natural way.
Sisters Clary and Zayak have lived with numerous other sisters who have come in and out of the house here and helped on the farm. It is open to the public as a place of refuge, retreat, and renewal. I'm Kyle Isham.
And I'm Rachel Otwell.